My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. We're going to be talking Disney cruises, in fact, all things cruises, with our podcast guests for this episode, Ben and David, very soon. We've got some questions that have come through as well. If you want to get in touch with me, we're on the podcast socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, @PodMagical. Give us a like, give us a follow. You can DM me there if you want to be a guest, or if you've got any questions, send me a message. That's what Christine did. Andy, question time. Myself, my parents, my four-year-old daughter are going to be going out next year. Looking to fly out on the 28th of February. We've noticed that from the Monday of our last week. It looks like spring break in America. Spring break, always busy. We looked at moving our holiday forward by 4 days, flying out on Saturday the 25th. But then that's the Run Disney weekend, the Princess weekend. We fly home the Monday of the start of spring break. What do we do? This is the Disney conundrum. Christine, this is the Disney conundrum, but I think if you look at crowds at the moment, there is no quiet time. I think it's very, very rare you're going to get 2 weeks when it's going to be really quiet. Yes, it's very busy when there's a Run Disney event on there, mostly at the beginning of the year. I think the last one is at the end of this month, actually. The end of February is the Princess one, so it's going to be busy. So if you land that day, if you land on the Saturday and it's the marathon weekend, the day you land and the Sunday is going to be very busy, but by the time you land, that day's gone, you just got the night. If you get really early on the Sunday morning, most people are going to be running, so you might have like a quiet morning in the parks, and then it'll get busy on the Sunday, but they should be going home Monday. And then spring break varies from school to school, actually, in Florida. The best thing to do, if you want to know when the busiest times are on the holidays are, if you have a look at the annual passes section on the Walt Disney World website, look at the Pixie Dust Pass. The Pixie Dust Pass is the cheapest one you can get, and it's only for Florida residents, and it's got a lot of blockout dates. They can't use it at the weekend, so it's like a Monday to Friday annual pass, but there's also blockout dates in that. There's the odd week here and there, and you'll see the weeks that are blocked out are usually when it's a spring break or a school holiday. So if you have a look on that, that may give an indication on when the parks are going to be busy. But spring break, usually you're talking mid-March. So if you get there the weekend of the Princess Marathon, you'd probably be going home the weekend that the spring breakers are going to start to arrive. So you might be all right. But as I say, there's not really a quiet time anymore, I'm afraid. Any questions? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical is where we are. Same place if you'd like to join me one episode as a guest. That's what Ben and David are doing. We're going to chat Disney and cruises on this episode of the podcast. Well, they've done over 60 cruises for pretty much every cruise line, so we will be talking about cruising, obviously, but they also love Walt Disney World. Let's say ahoy, Ben and David.
Well, ahoy there.
Ahoy there.
Ahoy. I had to start with an ahoy there. Am I right? Over 60 cruises.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 60 cruises, lots of different ships all around the world. But yeah, our first ever cruise was on the Disney Magic. So our first ever cruise was on the Disney Cruise Line, which was amazing.
Oh, we'll come back to cruising soon. But let's start with Walt Disney World, because I know you've literally just come back.
We have, yeah. So we went at the beginning, January for the 50th. And it was really fantastic. It was nice to be back after, I think, about 6 years, wasn't it, David?
Yeah, I think it was about 6 years ago was the last time we're in Walt Disney World, and a lot has changed since we were last there,
hasn't it? Just so, did you take advantage of lightning lanes instead of fast passes and things like that?
Absolutely, yeah. We did take good use of that, just because we were there for only 5 days. We had a 5-day park hopper pass, and we wanted to do as much as we could, especially all of the new rides. And with it being so busy for the 50th, we had to give in and buy those the Genie Pluses and the lightning lanes, and we actually managed to get on everything pretty well. So it did work out for us, even though it was a bit pricey, it did work.
But like you say, if you're only there for 5 days, you think, well, I might as well pay the $15 a day and make sure you get on everything.
Yeah, absolutely, because we didn't know when we'd be next back, so we wanted to cram in as much as we could. And like Ben said, we wanted to get all the new attractions that weren't there when we were there last.
Yeah, so we were super lucky. We got to get on basically every single ride we wanted to, so it did work out really well for us.
Including Rise of the Resistance.
We did, yeah. That ride was incredible. We had high hopes for that, but it was just amazing, wasn't it, David? It was so good.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely lived up to the hype. I mean, I'm not a Star Wars fan, so I had no clue what was going on, but it was an awesome experience either way.
I am a Star Wars fan and I didn't know what was going on. I was trying to explain to David, but just the technology used in that ride is just insane. I mean, it go, like you've seen, it's different parts and you go through different scenarios. It is legitimately incredible. I've never seen anything like it, so I think Disney did a really good job with that.
It is next level. What would you say, though, is your favourite Walt Disney World attraction?
I really liked the Mickey and Minnie Railway. I thought that was another great attraction.
Another new one, yeah.
I thought it was very cute. Yeah. I mean, Rise of the Resistance, I think, was the best attraction in terms of experience, but I personally, I liked the Mickey and Minnie one.
Oh, God, I'm a little bit sad. I know it's really bad, but I like the Carousel of Progress. Ooh. Just because I've got so many memories of it, of when I was a kid. It's not the best ride by far, but I just really remember it. And like some of the old rides, like Peter Pan and It's a Small World and things like that. I like all of the really nostalgic rides that I remember when I was a kid.
That's the thing about Disney World. It holds so many memories, doesn't it? So when was the first time you went to Walt Disney World?
Gosh, the first time I went, I was 10. So I was there for my 10th birthday back in the 90s. And I have got so many amazing memories. It's still so vivid in my memory about the time we had there, the day I spent my birthday in Magic Kingdom. It was the first time I went to a different country, actually. So it was a proper treat. And I've got so many nice memories of Disney. And since then, I must have been, God, about 50 times, probably.
Oh, wow.
I used to be cabin crew. So we used to go to Orlando all of the time, and we used to go on holiday there twice a year as well. So been so many times.
When you were cabin crew, does that mean like if you only had a stop off for a day or two, would you go head straight to Walt Disney World?
Yeah, definitely. So we used to get one or two nights in Orlando, and especially on the two-nighters, we used to spend a day in Disney and we'd get a nice discount for working with the airline. So we used to go there or go down and get some food in Disney Springs or Downtown Disney, as it used to be known then.
And David, when was the first time you went?
So I was a lot older. It was when I first, it's when I met Ben and you took us to Disney. I think it was probably 6 years ago was the first time that we went.
Seven years ago,
yeah. So I experienced it. I didn't have the nostalgia as much as you did because you went as a child. I experienced it more as an adult. I had been to the park in Paris though before that, but it's completely different experience.
Have you got, would you say, one particular standout memory from the times you've been, either as a kid or you've been together?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, one time when we've been together, so we went in 2013. I think for the second time, we'd just been to Disneyland in Anaheim in California, and we'd done Disney in Tokyo as well, which was amazing. But that we went to Disney World for a couple of weeks. And at the end of Wishes, which is that's a proper nostalgic moment. Oh, yeah. I love Wishes, the fireworks. The sound suddenly dropped and David turned around and looked at me and said, "Will you marry me?" And it went super quiet and everybody was just turned around and looked. And I thought he was joking.
I didn't mean to do it in the quiet section. That was just...
The sound just dropped. But yeah, that's an amazing memory. And we spent, after that we moved to the Contemporary Resort.
Spent some
time there and it was just an amazing memory, wasn't it? It was magical.
Do you usually stay on site then when you go, or do you like to stay elsewhere in Orlando? Because it is expensive.
Yeah, well, years ago, sort of like 2014-15, yeah, we would stay on site usually. We stayed in quite a few of the hotels. We stayed in Art of Animation, Saratoga Springs, Contemporary Resort, Port Orleans and Port Orleans French Quarter, Animal Kingdom Lodge. But it has got so expensive now. So we like staying in villas as well. So for our last trip, just earlier this month, we stayed at the Margaritaville Resort in a villa. And that was lovely. I mean, you have the flexibility of having being able to cook for yourself and still having an amazing place with its own private pool and stuff. So I think we prefer that nowadays, do you?
Yeah, and you just get better value for money. But I think the big difference compared to last time was the rise of Uber and Lyft. Because we don't drive, we always stayed on site for the ease of Magical Express and using the transportation. But now that Lyft and Uber, it makes it so easy to stay off site. It's a much more attractive option.
It's so cheap. I mean, it's literally $15 return. It's ridiculously cheap. So it's such a nice thing. And it's like having your own private driver as well to drive you about. Yeah. You don't have to pay the parking fees or anything like that, which are more expensive than the Ubers now.
Yeah. Oh, you don't have to wait for that resort bus.
Yeah. Definitely, that's annoying.
With all the buggies on and everything like that. And am I right in saying at Margaritaville, they've got like a margarita maker in the kitchen in every apartment?
Yes, they do. And we did try it out.
And it was amazing. Yeah. Honestly, those apartments were really good. And it was right next to the Sherbeth Road shortcut into sort of Animal Kingdom area. It was like 2 minutes away, wasn't it? It was so close.
Yeah, and it had a little sort of dining and shopping area nearby. Almost not quite Disney Springs, but
it felt like a little mini Disney Springs.
A tiny mini Disney Springs with a liquor store, so you could get your margarita mix.
And the machines, they're ready for you. What about places to eat in Orlando and the parks? Have you got any particular favourite restaurants in Disney World?
Well, something that we both noticed was that the quality of food has got so much better, especially in the parks for like quick service. So in the past, did all of the major restaurants, so California Grill, all of Epcot restaurants, all of the restaurants in all of the character dining and everything like that. But we were really impressed with all of the quick service dining. So we were there for the Epcot Art Festival, which was really good. The food was absolutely fantastic. And we just kind of had little bites all around the world, really. And another thing we were really impressed with was Disney Springs and the food there. Wasn't it great?
That's completely changed since we were last visited, and it is really a great food destination. We tried, I think, 4 or 5 of the restaurants, didn't we? And they were so good.
Them Gideon's cookies, my God, they are life-changing. Oh, they're literally amazing. And then we went to the chicken shop, Deluxe Burger. We did the polite pig. Oh my God, yeah, we just had bites everywhere, but the food was, I mean, it's pricey, but it is so good quality. It's not just your burgers and fries now. They've got an actual diverse range of food, which is lovely to see. So it's just nice to sort of pick and eat everywhere, isn't it?
And we tried Spice Road Table in Epcot as well. Was it Spice Road Table?
Yes, so and in Morocco.
And that was a really good food place.
Yeah, it was like quick service slash like sort of table service. It was a bit of a strange one, but it was really good. Like, the food quality was great, the price wasn't too bad at all. It was just lovely. We had loads of nice food, didn't we?
If I was to give you your perfect Disney day, your perfect 25, and you can stay anywhere, you can do anything, there's no screaming kids, there's no queues for attractions, what been perfect world, what would your perfect Disney day be?
Oh God, we've got a park up. Yeah, we're going to start off in Epcot, probably.
Right,
a nice breakfast somewhere. I tell you what, it's really good. The Princess Dining in Norway is a good start. The Akershus, I forgot what it's called.
I can never pronounce it. Yeah, I can never pronounce it.
You know the one we mean. But yeah, we've had breakfast there a few times, and that was the breakfast there is actually really good. These amazing breakfast potatoes. So we'd have to start off in Epcot, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Then I'd probably, we're going to cover all the parks here. I'd go to Hollywood Studios for the morning, because I think it's got some of the best rides now since they've done everything up.
Yes.
So definitely, I'd like to spend the day in Hollywood Studios and then maybe end with Magic Kingdom on the night for the nighttime show.
Yeah, you've definitely got to do the fireworks in the night. But I think where I'd like to stay is Polynesian Resort. I haven't stayed there before, but I love Ohana, the food there in Corner Cafe. So I'd like to go there for dinner, probably to Ohana, have the nice meal there, and then stay in one of the new Polynesian resorts. That'd probably cost a small fortune, or like we'd have to remortgage.
The lottery in this scenario.
We could even watch the fireworks from our little condo on the beach. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And then the limousine and the private jet would pick us up and bring us home.
We'll We'll chat some more with our guests Ben and David in just a moment. We'll talk about cruising. And talking about cruising, there is a brand new Disney ship, the Wish. It's just touched water for the first time, although its maiden voyages has been delayed. In fact, they've cancelled about a dozen sailings. People who have been affected, by the way, I've got a refund and 50% off any future cruise. More about that very soon, actually, Ben and David. From the parks, the big news is that masks are no longer required in the parks at Walt Disney World. Indoor and outdoor attractions, fully vaccinated guests can go mask-free from now. Masks are still required on public transport around the parks, though, so buses, monorail, Skyliner and things like that. And there's a new way to make a cast compliment. I've always done this before on Twitter, and do make cast compliments, by the way. If you have an amazing service from a Disney cast member, it really is a nice way just to say thank you. And you can now make cast compliments via the My Disney Experience app. So if you get a nice bit of service, maybe your waiter, your waitress, or just somebody's made you smile, cast member compliments are the way to go. And also, quick note, it's been over 4 years since they started building the new Tron coaster in Magic Kingdom. It will be ready for the 50th, which has already started, but has got another year to go. The cars have arrived. So the cars have arrived. They've just not gone on the track yet. But it's another sign that we're getting there for Tron. Don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the news from the parks. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at PodMagical is where to go. Same place to go to be a podcast guest like Ben and David. On the podcast this episode, Cruise with Ben and David, we have to talk about cruising. So we said that the first time you ever went on a cruise was the Disney cruise. Was it, did you only cruise because it was Disney?
No, so it was a bit of a funny one, really. So we had never been on a cruise before, and we were invited on the cruise by one of my friends who was getting married on the cruise. It was a 2-week cruise on the Disney Magic from Barcelona all the way to San Juan in Puerto Rico in the Caribbean. And we felt we had really mixed feelings about it. We didn't know if it was going to be horrible, because you have all of these visions of cruising where it's just all old people and horrible food like a ferry.
Yeah, but traditional and stuffy.
Yeah, and we didn't know what to expect, really. We thought it would be good because it's Disney, and that's why we decided to do it, because we love Disney as well. So, and we wanted to go to the wedding.
But also on the same, because it was Disney, we didn't want it to be just kids, yeah. You know. So, and you know, full of kids for 2 weeks and with 5 sea days, we were really nervous, weren't we?
Yeah, but literally from the first moment we saw the ship, she just looked absolutely spectacular. She was just such a pretty ship. And once we got on board, it was literally within about 5 seconds, I remember turning to you, David, and saying, we're booking another one.
Yeah, they just announced and said, welcome aboard, Ben and David. And then Ben turned to me and said, we're going to book another one.
It was honestly... I can't explain what it was like, but the ships are just so beautiful. They're not over Disney. They're really sort of like really nicely done. It's not sort of in your face. The dining was amazing. The shows were amazing. And most importantly was sort of the adult aspects. So sort of half of the ship is split down the middle for families on one side and adults only on the other side. And there was just so much to do and see. It was just... It really did kickstart our love for cruising, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did, because we went on the Disney and we thought, oh, this is nice. So we did another Disney cruise. And then we started to branch out to look at other cruise lines and start cruising with other companies. And it really did start this love that we have, and it started our channel as well, which is all about cruising.
Yeah, but Disney's definitely still at the heart. We've got 2 Disney cruises booked, one for June and one for July on the new Wish. So we love Disney, so we can't wait to get on those ships as well.
Oh, well, my cruise for the Wish was cancelled, so...
Yes, ours was too, yeah. Was it June? Yeah, and it's been cancelled, and we've rebooked for July now.
Well, what I've done, because they've given us the 50% off any cruise, we're going to Alaska. We're going, if they're going to give us 50% off...
So we've done the same thing, but we're going to... So we used the 50% for a different cruise, for a week cruise on the Fantasy in June. And we got... It was supposed to be like $6,000-$7,000, and now we've got it for $3,000. Because the Wish cruise is actually cheaper, because it's only for 3 nights. So we used our voucher on the Fantasy, so we can't wait to get on that class of ship, because we've not been on the bigger Disney ships before.
Oh, I love the Fantasy. That was the first one that I did, the Fantasy. Yeah. And again, I only started on it because it was Disney going, the only way you're going to get me on a cruise is Disney. Then I started watching your vlogs. And last year, you did the 7-day UK cruise that went from Southampton, Belfast, Liverpool. And I was watching the Royal Caribbean one. I went, I'm really missing America and I'm missing cruising. I went, we should do this one. So Royal Caribbean are listening. Thank you to Ben and David. You've got a new customer. Because it was your vlogs that made me do it. And we've just booked another one, actually, because where our gap was in our Disney cruise, we're now doing the another Royal Caribbean for 3 days. But who would you say is your favourite line to cruise with?
So I would definitely say it's got to be Disney Cruise Line. It started off, but like you booked the Royal Caribbean cruises, I would definitely say that's the most similar to Disney in terms of entertainment and sort of the ships and things. But for me, David, what about you? It's got to be Disney for me.
See, but for Royal Caribbean, it's a good all-rounder. So I do enjoy it because, you know, if we go with family, they've got their stuff to do and the stuff for adults to do. So I like Royal Caribbean.
And it's massively cheaper than Disney. You can't deny that Disney's, it's expensive. You do get a lot of value in that. You get all of your drinks, your soda, and all of the meals are included mostly as well. So you get a lot included in a Disney cruise. And obviously you're getting Disney as well. You're getting a really nice experience. But yeah, Royal Caribbean second for me.
Who would you say has got the best private island? Is it Castaway Key? Coco Key?
I think it might be Coco Key, you know, for Royal Caribbean. Ah. I mean, it's a lot newer than Castaway Key, but it's really, really nice.
They've invested a lot into it. I mean, and you've got a full water park. I mean, you do have to pay for it. It is extra, but it's a really nice island, Coco Key.
But Castaway Key, we haven't been for so long. It's been sort of 7 years and we're going back twice this year. So I can't wait to sort of, because I've not really compared them. It's been too long to sort of compare them. And the last time we were there, it was a bit cold, wasn't it? It was in February. So we couldn't swim and things. So we're looking forward to going back in the summer and really trying it out, because the adults area and things on the island were all closed off just because of the bad weather. So it'll be nice to get back there and try it properly.
If people are considering doing, say, a week at Walt Disney World and then tying that in with a cruise, because it's about an hour, isn't it, from Orlando to Port Canaveral. What would your advice be doing the double?
Well, first things first is I'd say always do the parks first before your cruise, because you're going to be in the parks for the week, you're going to be exhausted, and then you can get on that cruise and you can really, really relax. I think the other way around, you'd need another vacation after the parks.
Oh, totally agree. It's such a nice, definitely do the parks first and then the cruise afterwards. But like you said, it is so easy to get from Disney to Port Canaveral. It's under an hour. It's a really easy process. And you can tag on, they do 3-day cruises, 4-day cruises, as well as week cruises as well from Port Canaveral. So it's definitely a great combination. But yeah, after all of that walking, especially around Epcot, you're going to need to chill out on a beach and on a sun lounger and have some nice food and drinks.
And the good thing is, if you're doing a Disney cruise, because you always leave Walt Disney World and you get the Disney blues, don't you? If you're going straight to the ship, you can extend it a bit more.
Absolutely. And it's completely different as well, which is really nice as well. So you're going to be going into all of the cruises there going to the Caribbean. Most of them drop off at the private island as well. So it is a really, really nice way to sort of prolong your cruise, prolong your holiday and do something a little bit longer. It's like the perfect idea of a holiday to me.
Is it always best to use a travel agent, or do you book directly with the cruise company?
We've done a mix of both in the past, haven't we? And I think it really is up to you. If you feel comfortable with planning your own itinerary and you feel comfortable with everything like that, there's nothing wrong with booking direct. But if you want somebody to guide you and give you a little bit of help, definitely use a travel agent, and especially one, if you are looking for a cruise or even for Walt Disney World, one that specializes in that and really know what they're talking about.
Yeah, there's plenty of options. But like, if you use a travel agent for Disney, use it for the cruise as well. But if you don't and like to do everything DIY, I mean, we do mostly DIY and book everything separately, and we do tend to get a good price. But if you're feeling unconfident about it, yeah, it might be your best idea to use a travel agent, but it's definitely doable either way.
And watch your vlogs, obviously, for all the tips and advice.
Yeah,
definitely.
There's lots of tips.
How do you get, by the way, from the parks to the cruise if you don't drive?
There's a few different options. You can always grab an Uber. They're more than willing to sort of take you there. I think it's about $70 or so. But we've also booked private transfers before with Mia's and some other few companies as well. And I think Disney used to do, are they still carrying that on or not, the bus?
Yeah, I think they do offer a transfer service.
If you're staying at a Walt Disney World resort.
Yeah, but it is an extra charge. Yeah. But yeah, there's lots of options. You can drive yourself as well.
You can drive yourself as well. Yeah, but there's plenty of options. There's private transfers, taxis, Ubers, Lyfts, and as well as the Disney bus as well for an extra charge.
And cruising, I would say, is probably the safest holiday to go on right now because everybody is jabbed, you're tested before you get on, the cleanliness is incredible, the mask wearing is really tight. I'd say it's the safest holiday to go on, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yes.
It's super safe. I mean, the protocols put in place by all of the cruise lines, Disney especially, where you have to be vaccinated, then you have a test on the day before you board, and then all of the measures on board as well. Honestly, we've been on about 13 cruises since the pandemic started, and honestly, nowhere else feels safer. It really doesn't. We felt much safer on all of our cruises than we did in Disney World, for example, just because you don't know who's vaccinated. You don't know if anybody's tested positive or if people are even testing at all. It just feels very safe on board.
Yeah, absolutely. The contrast of our last cruise going from a cruise straight to the parks, it was a massive shock. Just with the protocols on the cruise, like you said, there was restrictions in place, there was social distancing, there was mask wearing, and everybody was vaccinated. Then going to the parks and it was a free-for-all, it was a really massive difference.
But most of all, it doesn't ruin your experience either, because we've all become used to all of these protocols, and when you're eating and drinking and outside and things, you don't have to wear a mask and it just feels like normal times.
Yeah, it does, yeah. But I think there is this stigma against cruise. You see it a lot on the news, you know, the media like to jump on it. But it is really safe and the cruise ships are very, very clean. And just the reason is they have to report all of their
cases.
All their anything to do with medical stuff, they have to report everything, unlike land-based resorts. So while you may think, oh my gosh, there's lots of cases on the ships, they're actually prepared for it. They know what they're doing, and it's because they have to report this information is the reason why we all know about it compared to a land-based resort.
Yeah, flights, everything, flights, holiday resorts, nobody else has to report it. So that's why you only hear about cruise, really, which is a bit of a shame because it does feel incredibly safe on board.
And they're not even at full capacity at the moment. So some of the ships, it's like having your own private yacht half the time.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's honestly, it's the best thing about COVID. If there's one nice thing, I mean, it's not great for the cruise lines, but the ships are so quiet. Sailing at 50% capacity, even lower at sometimes. It's been really lovely. The ships feel very quiet. There's no queues for anything. You can get on everything. You can do whatever you want. It's really lovely. There's no rush to do everything because it's so quiet.
And when's your next trip? Is it the Florida trip, the fantasy trip, or are you getting away before then?
Yeah, so we are away in about 3 weeks on the inaugural cruise of the Wonder of the Seas from Royal Caribbean. So it's the newest, biggest ship in the world. So it's going to be the biggest cruise ship.
And when you're back in Florida, are you going to be back to Walt Disney World, or are you going to have time next time?
No, not this time. We're going to go back in June.
Yeah, and we may squeeze in a Universal,
because we didn't do any Universal.
Sorry, Disney.
It's all right. Get your Harry Potter fix in. Definitely. Lovely talking to you both. Cruise with Ben and David. Watch their vlogs, especially if you're thinking about doing a cruise with a time to Walt Disney World, because as I say, there is so much information on there. It's not just like a vlog series where people go, look at us having a lovely time. There is so much information and tips that you'll pick up. It's really brilliant. And thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much,
Andrew. It's really appreciated.
And have a magical day.
You too. Have a magical day.
Have a magical day.
See you later.
You fancy coming on the podcast to talk about Walt Disney World? Just send me a message on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. At Pod Magical is where we are. Hopefully you've already followed us by now. Just send me a DM. We'll sort you out a time to get you on the podcast. Don't forget, brand new podcasts every other Friday. Always like to end the episode with a top tip. A top tip for this episode is make sure you do outdoor rides in the morning. particularly if you go in around a time when it's going to be thundery. Because if you might notice, if you're looking at queue times and wait times, every now and then it'll be like, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is down. Test Track is down. Randy, why is Test Track down like every afternoon for a few hours? That's because thunderstorms. Outdoor attractions will close when the thunderstorms are looming. So it doesn't even have to be raining and thundery. As soon as there's a bit of a thunderstorm on the radar, they will close outdoor attractions. So if you've planned, especially like a lightning lane, to do Slinky Dog in the afternoon, and Slinky Dog's going to be down for a couple of hours because of thunderstorms, you're not going to get on it. They're going to have to move that. So any outdoor attractions, first thing in the morning, get them out of the way. That's the top tip for this episode. Don't forget, we've got a brand new podcast, as I say, every other Friday. Follow us on the socials. We'll keep you updated with any news between now and then. If you could give us a follow on the podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts or whether it's Spotify, hit that subscribe button to make sure that you don't miss any episode. And if you could, and if you haven't done already, particularly on Apple Podcasts, if you just give us a 5-star review and maybe leave a nice comment, because that just helps people find us. So if you haven't done it, Apple Podcast, just hit that 5 stars and say, oh, I love the podcast because we love Walt Disney World. It just helps people find us. If you've done that, if you've left us a 5-star review, big thank you. Back in 2 weeks from now with a brand new podcast. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.